CliffCentral.com. All right, it's Friday. Everybody chill. Take a load off. You've got the whole weekend to gather your thoughts, take some time, relax, get into things. Tell you, someone who probably can't relax very much because he has to be super fit, he has to be super fast, he has to be super alert, is Dricus du Plessis. He's with us this morning. They call him Still Knox, which Mabali thought was funny because she takes that often when she can't sleep.
Knocks me out.
How are you, Dricus?
Hey, guys.
Nice to meet you, man.
Thanks for having me.
You don't look like the kind of guy who is as dangerous as an EFC worldwide welterweight champion should be. Is that disarming? Do people see you and then they go, this guy looks like a fun, friendly dude. I don't think he's going to destroy me.
Yeah, I do think. I think it's a great advantage. I've never looked the part. I have to say that.
Yeah,
no, I've tried. Like, I got some extra scars and all that stuff, and now
didn't help.
No, it doesn't really help. All the guys that I face always look so much meaner than me. So
you look like the kind of guy who you'd walk up to at a bar and you'd say, hey, you keen for a drink? And you'd say, yeah, sure, let's have a drink.
You look like you're a nice guy.
Well, no. Thank you.
not somebody who potentially kicks your ass.
He's a 23. You're 23?
Yeah, I'm 23 years old.
He's a 23-year-old professional MMA specialist and the youngest debutant to participate in the EFC worldwide. How young were you when you started?
19. 6 months after high school, I made my professional debut at the EFC.
What made you choose MMA?
I've always been into sports, all kind of sports.
You're from Pretoria, right?
No, actually, I'm from Hartbeespoort Dam.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Moved to Pretoria to study at Tux. Mm-hmm. And I started with kickboxing, judo, all that stuff when I was little, but just just for fun. And I started taking the kickboxing K1 a bit more serious. And when I was 18, I won the world championships in kickboxing. And then I realized, I really love this. I really have a chance of doing this for a career. And I didn't really have a plan. There wasn't really a platform for me to do this professionally.
It's not like there's a runway, and you have to cross certain obstacles to get to the front of the queue.
There's just no platform for me to perform. So, I joined Team CIT. And 6 months later, I signed with the EFC, and that's a huge platform to perform, fight MMA, get paid to do, and now you can make a career out of it.
There are lots of other things that you could have done that might have been easier. I mean, if you say you're an athlete, I mean, a lot of guys would have gone into rugby, a lot of guys would have gone into team sports. Why did this appeal to you so much? Said you did.
Rugby was the way that I was going. I was originally set to play rugby for Tux. That's why I was going there. And I just said, I wouldn't be able to give up the fighting. In school, I was able to do both. 50-50, but as soon as you start doing it professionally, you can't do both. So I just decided this is the one that I love most, and I'm very glad I made that choice. I love what I do. It's absolutely awesome. I just live for the sport.
Now, a lot of people who don't know anything about MMA assume that people who get into MMA are the kind of people who like to fight, and I'm talking about fight outside of competition, and who are aggressive people. Every MMA fighter I've ever met, the most calm, chilled person in the world. They don't like aggression and violence, especially outside of formal competition.
Yeah.
And they don't take very kindly to being called any of those things.
Yes, for sure. I think...
Because it shows like a lack of discipline, right?
Yeah, 100%. And I think way back years ago, the cage fighter was basically the term that's used. I don't see myself as a cage fighter at all.
It just sounds like a wild animal.
Yes, exactly. I refer to myself, and we the whole organization refers to us as athletes because that's what we are.
Right.
This is a full-time job. This is what I do. I wake up in the morning, I train, I go, I rest, I eat, do what I have to do, have another session, 3-4 sessions a day. And this is what I do the whole day. So I'm not a cage fighter. I'm a professional athlete, just like any other sport, just like a rugby player, just like a cricket player. We just fight.
So what's the best part of this? Because you obviously can get hurt, like in any sport, but you need to be super fit. There's a lot of work that goes into it. What's the upshot for you? Is it winning? Is it the kind of is it the money? Is it the thrill? Is it the the fact that you're engaged in competition with people who you respect, what part of it turns you on?
I think it's different for everyone. You know? Some people do love the big lights. Some people like the money. Some people, you know, South Africa, the money isn't where the UFC's money is, like, sure. Worldwide. So, no, that's not really the case in South Africa. It's all just the passion. For me, I feel to be able to compete against only one man, it's not a team sport where it's your team winning or losing against another team. It's you against them. And it's all about preparation and who prepared the best for the fight, who's the fitter, who's the stronger, and who has the best technique on the night. And I think that's what gets me. That's what I love to do, to compete one-on-one against someone else. It's just amazing.
How much of it is psychological?
70%.
Really, that much?
100%. I think, especially nowadays, you know, the sport has grown so much. All the athletes that are fighting, everybody is in great physical shape. Everybody spends, most of the people that I compete against do this full time. Yeah. Especially, you know, at championship level, all the guys do this full time. This is what they do. You can't compete anymore, really, if you're not doing this 100%. So everybody's fit, everybody's strong, everybody knows the techniques, everybody's on the same level where it comes to that. And then the psychological game comes into place, and that's where I think on fight night makes the biggest difference. A lot of guys, you know, they train, they're animals in the gym, and once they get under the big lights, they crumble under the pressure. They can't handle that. And that's all psychological.
And it's also all those people who are watching your every move and dissecting every single part of what you do.
100%. You know, that guy knows exactly what you do. He knows exactly what mistakes you make, even mistakes you don't really realize that you're making. His coaches, his team, all of them will be looking out for those mistakes in all your previous fights. So that's...
Do you think that it's a good idea if people want to get into this? If they want to be EFC athletes like you are, MMA fighters, do you think that they should start early?
100%. You know, obviously, there's the kids, the amateurs. You're only allowed to start fighting like proper MMA amateur rules, where they wear head guards, shin guards, no big head gloves.
How old are you allowed to be?
16. Then you can compete properly. But
because Mabali started at 12.
I'm a savage.
With no shin guards, no protection.
She trained in the back of the schoolyard. The other girls have never been seen again.
Don't joke, I actually got my ass kicked by two girls when I was 12 years old. I was telling Sia yesterday.
She got
that
jumped.
Was my one and only fight.
Yeah, she got jumped. She didn't see them coming. But it was two against one, Mavs.
Yeah, but I had gone and said that I could take them on, and then they showed me.
Wow. You really are street.
Yeah.
So... I mean, do people, has anyone ever in your life looked for shit with you?
Yes, you know, and when I was in school, boys will be boys. You know, when I was in school, and I got into a few fights, but nothing like...
Did you win?
Yes.
Okay.
I have lost, but...
No, we don't want to hear about
most
it.
Of them.
Yes, we do. Not
Mubs wants to know when you last lost.
No, I imagine losing is part of, you know... Part of being the athlete that you are. So how do you bounce 100%. Back from those things?
I don't think losing any fight in school or like I said, it wasn't like I was a guy who got into trouble fighting every day. No, it happened a few times. I did grow up, I'm the youngest of three brothers. And those fights I lost like 100% of the time. You know, my older brother is 4 years older than me, and my oldest brother is 7 years older than me.
Yeah, so, that's how I grew up, getting beaten up by my brothers.
Oh, shame, guys.
And that's makes that was strong, good, man. Yeah. Yeah, so I think that's why I am the way I am today. It's their fault.
Do you get to have any time off? I mean,
is
for there
sure.
an off season?
How it works with us, especially like I have the title now, so your fights are basically determined months before you actually fight. They have
someone will
venues.
Challenge you.
Yes, so they will. After this fight, I'm fighting again the 19th of August for the middleweight title.
Now, I believe this guy, this Yannick Bahati, what do we know about him?
He's from England. He is the middleweight champion. Mm-hmm. I'm the welterweight champion. Now I'm going up a division to challenge for another title.
If you win this, you'll be the first fighter in EFC history to hold two belts in two different weight classes.
Yes.
Jeez.
That's something to look forward to. It's something big. So yeah, preparations are going great. So basically, for 3 months prior to this is when my fight camp starts. Prior to the fight, training every single day, you know, living the lifestyle 100% diet, all that stuff. And after the fight, you have to take a little breather. You have to live a little because you know there's not really time for anything. We train
relationships.
Mondays, Saturdays. Yeah, I have a girlfriend. We've been together for 4.5 years now.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, so from school. School romance.
Does she get upset when you come home after a fight and you've got like a bruise or a cut or a scar? Or
no, absolutely not. I think she's used to it.
Oh, no,
but my mom.
Does she nurse you back to health in a special way?
Definitely. Yeah. My mom, on the other hand, she hated it. She said, I was always such a pretty little boy. Now I have these cauliflower ears, and I have cuts and all that stuff. And I'm like, thank you very much. Now I look meaner because, you know, that's what I was going for, trying to look a little bit meaner.
Don't
look
so friendly. And
so, as part of your preparation, are you going to be facing this guy? Do you and your team then do like a thorough Google search on him? Do you go online to try and find his videos to watch him, how he moves? And is that all part of the preparation?
Yeah, for sure. So, I got all his footage of all his fights. We have a company called Objective Regression. They do very close friends with the guy. They do fight analysis. They basically see how many punches this guy throws per fight, how many punches he throws per minute. How many takedowns he lands, all that kind of stuff. And that's all stuff to take into consideration, where he's weak, where he's strong. I've been watching all of his fights that he's had in his whole career, you know, watching it, seeing the mistakes that he keeps on making, and you know, obviously trying to capitalize on that and see where his strongest points are and where his weaker points are.
Sounds pretty good. I mean, you think you're going to beat him?
100%. I'm definitely going to beat him. Mm-hmm.
But when you say, you said like 70% of the fights is all psychological, what goes into that? Like, how do you... Because you know you're going to get a punch in the face. How do you prepare for that, you know?
To prepare for the punch in the face...
Forget about
say,
that. The kick is worse.
The training... the funny thing about MMA is the training is so much harder than the fight itself. You know, because training, when we train, we go full speed. You have to get that punches in the face to be able to take it on fight night. So
who do you train with?
I have a team CIT. So we're about 20 professional fighters in our team. So we all compete in most of us in the UFC and various professional platforms of MMA, and we will try to get my team to imitate this guy's fight style as much as they can. You know, we have bigger guys, you know, you get different guys in to, you know, this guy's quite a bit bigger than me, so you get a guy that is as tall as he is. Or as heavy as he is, so to be prepared for the fight, to get it as realistic as possible in training, so that when you get into the fight, nothing is new to you. You have to, and to get back to the psychological part of this, is visualization has such a big impact. So you, when you get in there, you don't want to be shocked by anything. You want to be able to have felt it before. You know, you feel, right. you know exactly what it feels like. The light shouldn't bother you. Because, you know, I have 3 months off between fights, so you kind of forget what it feels like in there. But visualization and getting yourself mentally ready for whatever this guy can bring, or whatever situation you can find yourself in, to be mentally ready. Because once you start losing mentally, that's when everything will just be a downward spiral.
What about the everybody's talking about this McGregor-Mayweather fight? What do you think is going to happen? Give me a professional opinion.
I'm backing Conor all the way. Conor McGregor is going to take
because he's
this.
MMA? Or
100%.
Really?
Because he's MMA, and I think he's a phenomenal athlete. He's changed the MMA game 100%. He's taken it to a next level as far as, you know, everybody knows he is.
Yeah, he's got a huge reputation.
Huge. Yeah. And I mean, if you look at the guy 5 years ago, he was collecting welfare checks in his country. And now he's fighting for $100 million against Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah, but what do you say about the fact that essentially by him boxing now, 9/10 of his repertoire is kind of taken away?
No, for sure. But if you look at his fight record, he started as a boxer prior to MMA. Then went to MMA.
Well, he was Irish, so he was boxing from the womb.
Yeah, exactly.
His mother was the one who fought with him first.
Yeah, I said,
can't have this bowl of cereal. I've told you once. You and wanted, you get it for yourself. You have to fight me for it.
Oh, you're silly.
But yeah, and if you look at his MMA fights, like knocking guys out via boxing is his main style. He has a brilliant boxing coach, and his hands are super fast. He has crazy knockout power. He's the bigger guy. He's the younger guy. You know, Floyd being 40 years old.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's because I would like to think it's also going to be Conor McGregor. Like the way the guy's training, and he's like psycho motivated.
Yeah,
Floyd's
sure.
40. I mean, I'm 35. I know that's hard. I mean, this morning I battled to wake up. 40, even if you're fit, 40 is still 40.
You just battle to get out of bed.
How old is Conor?
29.
Yeah, it's 29.
Oh, that's a big gap.
But yeah. I guess the whole thing is, it's like you say, like how prepared you can be for that. Like how prepared can Conor actually get for this moment? Because the thing about Mayweather is he never used to knock guys out. He would like toy with them. He would always be on the back foot. He would spar, and then he would get the punches that mattered. So if it goes to like whatever, 10 rounds, Mayweather's down with that. Do you reckon McGregor can actually get the mindset of boxing for that long?
McGregor is a brilliant team. He's actually at the UFC Sports Institute, which is amazing. They just opened it up in Vegas. It's a massive building with all the best equipment. And he's just getting everybody, and he's getting professional boxers in, guys who have fought Mayweather before, just sparring with them all the time. He gets in all the help that he needs to prepare for this fight, to prepare himself as good as he possibly can. And I think McGregor, he's the newer version, if you can call it that. And it will be a difference for him just fighting Mayweather in a boxing match. But the only chance that I give Mayweather in this fight, but this is only my opinion, is if it goes the distance. If it goes the full 10 rounds, he will have probably gathered enough points because like you said, he just keeps it on the back foot, lands more punches than his opponent does, and he wins the fight on points. Doesn't always make for an exciting fight, but he wins the fight. So.
No, he was never exciting. That's why when people say, was he the greatest, nobody likes saying yes, because he was like, it's like the Kepler Vessels of boxing. He would just do a bit here and there.
It's nice and boring.
But if you were to pick a style of fighting that you would least want to come up against, what is it?
Is it
a boxer? Is it a kickboxer? The thing is, in
MMA, your biggest nemesis basically is if somebody can neutralize your game. So wrestlers have that ability to, because you have jiu-jitsu on the ground, you can choke the guy out.
Mm-hmm.
You have wrestling to get the guy on the floor, and then you have the kickboxing and boxing when you're standing on the feet. So to get the guy on the ground, it's quite, if you're a good wrestler, you're always going to be able to get the guy on the ground. And if you're a good wrestler and you keep this guy on his back and he's not able to do anything about it, you can't get back to his feet because you keep on taking him down, that tires the guy on the bottom out, really. So I think that's the worst for me, the worst scenario to be in. Somebody not really doing anything to finish the fight, like basically being a wrestler fighting Mayweather style, just staying on top of you, landing a few punches, nothing really hard. He just stays there for the full duration of the fight and wins the fight on points. I think that's the worst thing that can happen to any fighter.
Does your pain threshold improve with time? So if somebody were to, if Ben were to try and punch you now, I don't know why you would do that.
Are you trying to dare me to do it?
Or? Like, do you think that you feel or you handle pain better or you feel pain less and less as you go in your career?
I think the pain will stay the same. I think then you just realize that you're not really made of glass. I think the biggest thing about getting punched is the shock that your brain receives, because you don't see this punch coming. All of a sudden, boom, get a shock from the side. But now you start looking for the punch. I'm used to
having an apoplexy.
No, I could think of nothing worse than to put you. How long is the fight? How many rounds do you have?
I want to put you up against Sia. That would be the quickest fight.
So
25 minutes.
Yes.
To put yourself in this. Oh my! 25 minutes, and to know there's no way out of here. Unless I'm beat down, I can't. What's like the worst injury you've ever sustained from a fight?
From a fight, not really. I've fractured my shin in a fight. I kicked the guy's leg and he blocked at his knee, and I kicked his knee and fractured my shin. So that was. But the adrenaline was so intense. I don't even know about it. Like 3 weeks after the fight, we
blacked out?
Yes, I have from a choke. That's the only loss I've ever had in my career was against Gareth Soldier Boy McLellan.
Oh, we know him.
Yeah, he's just before he went to UFC.
He's a hardcore bastard.
Yeah, I fought him for the middleweight belt, but I was still 19 years old, still a youngster. It was my first title fight. And he choked me in the third round. And I didn't tap, so I passed out. But it's really not that bad. Like, passing out's really not that bad.
Oh, okay, because I'm thinking, what happens when you wake up? Do you look around and you go, where am I? Who am I? What am I?
No, I was like, shit.
So you knew exactly.
You see that ref? You see the ref so close to you, know exactly what happened. So,
okay.
So Drikus, just explain to me, like, legs are obviously a major advantage in MMA because you've got the range that you don't have with your arms.
Yeah.
Legs can reach a lot further. There's a little bit more muscle mass there if you've trained hard enough. And you can move quite quickly if you can swing your leg under a guy or, you know, kick him somewhere where it really hurts, bring him down hard. It can give a major advantage to a fight that obviously in boxing you don't have.
Yes, 100%. Kick is a lethal weapon. Kick is, I would say,
there's a lot more force there,
four
right?
times harder than a punch, yeah. definitely.
Like if I kick you in the head, Sia, if I kick you with the ball of my foot in the head, you will go down much, much quicker and there'll be a lot more blood than if I punch you in the
shin to the head. If this guy kicks you with his shin to the face,
that's finished.
So, what are the actual rules of MMA? Like, what can't you do?
Yeah, okay, genuinely upset about this.
No, because it's just like a punch, it's a kick, it's a blood, it's a punch.
He's watched Kung Fu Panda and nothing else. He's watched Kung Fu Panda.
Is there like a soundtrack to this?
The rules are quite. It's quite simple. So basically, what they want to do with MMA is to get. If you're part of any fight style, to accommodate you as well. So you can try, it was basically see which fight style in the beginning is the best, and then MMA itself became a fight style.
What do you rate? I mean, you talk about things like Muay Thai and Capoeira and all of this stuff. I mean, what do you think are the most useful tools in your arsenal when it comes to preparing for a fight and using different fight techniques?
The thing is, like I said, MMA started to become a style in itself. If there's one area of your game that's not good enough, that's where your opponent will look to exploit you by looking at your video. So if you're a stand-up guy, I like kickboxing. I'm from a kickboxing background. That's what I've done the most of my career. So this guy will immediately know, okay, so this guy is dangerous when his punches and kicks are very good. So what he'll try to do is stay away from me, keep the distance.
And get you
and
on the floor.
Eventually close that gap as soon as possible, make me miss a kick or a punch, and close the gap, get me on the floor, and that's where he'll... So that's why every single day I train all parts of him. I train on the ground, I train the wrestling, I train the kickboxing, train everything.
What must you do when you're on the ground?
Preferably not be on your back. So if you're on your back, there's jiu-jitsu, you can still submit the guy, get him in a choke from your back when he's on top of you. But when you're on your back, it's very hard to actually do something against a guy, and he can obviously punch you when he's on top. You can't really punch him from the bottom. So he can just let loose on you.
So what position would you prefer to be? If you're on the ground and you're on your back and you have a chance to move, what kind of move can you get into?
You would probably try to get back to your feet as soon as possible. No, get this guy, kick him away, just to create a little gap between yourself and him so that you can try and get back to your feet.
Right.
And, or at least you can do a sweep. There's a lot of techniques where you can sweep the guy where he's on top, and next moment you're going to be on top. Flip the whole situation around.
This is tough.
In the scenario, because as somebody who doesn't have the skills that you do, I imagine that I would be walking around kicking everyone's butts. But that's because I'm a horrible person. In a scenario where somebody poses a threat to you and they're trying to attack you, would your response be to restrain them rather, or would you go full MMA on them because you know the amount of damage you can do on an average person?
Well, he would go full MMA, you couldn't. Right?
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, if it's just...
If I'm in danger at all, it's...
It's full tilt.
Why would I go half speed?
Like, if some guy was harassing you in a club somewhere and he's drunk and he wants to take you on and he starts throwing punches at you, how are you going to deal with that guy?
I feel like you always have control of the outcome most of the time. And if this guy starts punching at me, he already took the step too far. So that's,
carte blanche to take
him to
pieces.
I'll do what I have to do. But, when the guy's drunk... The guy's drunk. You do get this, Not because I'm an MMA fighter, but just because, that's how people get.
Yeah, people are stupid. Yeah, there are a lot of aggressive assholes out there who will know that you're an MMA fighter, and they will look for trouble with you on purpose.
Yeah, and in the beginning of the night, they won't be looking for any trouble, but as soon as the alcohol starts flowing, they'll try to prove something. But what I found is just the best to try and get out of the situation, maybe leave, get to another place. It's always able to. This guy, he probably just wants to feel a bit big. So if you just say sorry, get out of there. It's cool.
You can't afford to be injured even in a small way.
100%.
In something outside of training.
I feel the biggest thing about a fight if you look at a fight outside the ring in a club or something like that, it's all about, you know, proving yourself to the people around you.
Yeah.
And you know, I feel like I've done that. I'm good. I've proven myself. I don't need to do it. Yeah. So, you know, it's just better for me to leave and get the situation over with. You know, it's just better for me to get out of there, get back to training. 100%.
It'd be different though if it was an intruder breaking into your house.
Yeah,
then that guy's gonna get it.
Yeah, then you can go full speed. It's like a sparring session, all out, no glass sparring
session. Poor unfortunate burglar.
Oh, big mistake!
Goes, ah, there's a flat screen TV in Drickus's house. I think I'll take me some of that. And he comes downstairs.
Yeah. Next thing you know, he wakes up and he's like, "What happened?"
No referee.
Because
there,
he was knocked out.
And his one arm is bent around his asshole, and his other leg is around the back of his head. Yeah, that'll be fun. All right, man. Well, listen, it sounds like you've got a hell of a fight coming up. We're all very excited about this, and we hope that you break all the records and make history by holding two belts in two different weight classes.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Break records, not bones.
Yeah.
Not your own.
Yeah.
Yeah, not mine. Maybe his.
Right. Sia, what were you watching just now that you pulled such a face?
I was trying to watch some of his fights, Drake's fights, but I really can't even make it through 6 minutes of this because just seeing it,
That was just a grappling fight, so you're not even allowed to punch there.
Oh, this is just casual?
Just casual.
So what is he saying?
So Drake's is now finding another fight for him. Just unbelievable.
I feel like Sia's world has just changed in the last 10 minutes.
Sia didn't know this stuff even happened. He didn't know this was a sport. And by the way, that's where Matthew Love on the WhatsApps this morning says, "Thank you. Finally, you are recognizing this sport." Well, we've always paid attention to it, really, to be fair.
Sounds like Matthew's trying to sort of fight her.
Yeah, it's kind of like we're always trying to pay attention to different stuff. It's just, woo! We don't have time every day for everything.
Okay. Yep. All right. That's a game changer now.
What are you watching this here? Describe what you see.
I am seeing someone being lifted across the mat right now. Literally being lifted.
The first one he was watching was actually just a grappling match. It wasn't really a fight.
All right. So now he's getting to see the real stuff.
I'm not.
All right. Let's give Sia a chance to take all of this in, because it's going to take him a little while. Drickus, thank you so much for coming to see us, the current EFC Worldwide Welterweight Champion. It's going to be an exciting day on CliffCentral.com. We'll tell you more about that in the next little while, so don't go anywhere. CliffCentral.com.